Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
So today I want to talk a little bit about, I'm doing a follow-up. It's really just one big, long, kind of connected series since we left Passover and moved towards Shavuot. So today I'm going to talk about being Israel. You are Israel. You are Israel. And I want to help get that deep inside of you. These are big issues. They're identity issues. How you view yourself is going to impact your future, your life, the very meaning of your life, your past. So this is a big deal. You know, Eve was beguiled in the garden. She kind of got lost along the way and lost who she was, who God was, and what he expected of her. And I'm telling you right now, the church has been beguiled for almost 2,000 years. Very, very confused about who she is, about who Israel is, and about her connection. And so this is a big issue. And, you know, you find it everywhere you go nowadays. This whole issue of the roots of Christianity is just everywhere. And I believe God's stirring that up. And so let me just recap a little bit. Shavuot. It's the next major holy day after Passover. And we have to count for 50 days between those two events. It's kind of God's saying, you cannot have a Passover without a Shavuot. That Shavuot and Passover are tied together. That he saved us in our sins, but he's bringing us out of our sins. He saved us in Egypt, but he's called us out to be his people. A new people. Am Israel, the people of Israel. That's who he's called us to be. And so Shavuot is that great occasion in which those who he redeemed out of Egypt become the chosen people. They become a nation at that point, a kingdom of priests to him at that first Shavuot at Mount Sinai. And as they come out and say, yes to God, we want to be your people, he says, great, here's the Torah. It describes a new way of life. Now that you're my children, I want you to live according to my values and my ways. No longer are you the children of Pharaoh. You're my children. I've transferred you from the domain of Pharaoh to my own dominion. I'm a king. And I have a law. And now that you're my people, I want you to live as my people. So Shavuot is all about becoming Israel, the chosen and treasured people of God, receiving the Torah as a new way of life and living that out for the glory of God. Included in that is the second great Shavuot, Acts chapter 2. The outpoured spirit, where God says, I'm going to send my spirit and empower you to speak on my behalf. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. All of your sons and daughters. I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh, not just Jews, but Gentiles too. Why? Because Gentiles are included in the Israel of God. They're included in the covenant people. We are a part of Israel. Why would we separate ourselves? Oh, I'm the church. That's Israel. Really? Because I heard Israel was the church all along. It began at Sinai. God called her out, the ecclesia, the called out ones, called them out of Egypt to become his own people. And Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, I believe it is, or 8, that Moses led the church in the wilderness. Israel was always the church. The Gentiles get grafted into her. The church get grafted into the church through Yeshua the Messiah. who came to build up the church that had fallen down through disobedience, came to cut a new covenant and restore that church and build it up and invite the Gentiles into it. Let's take an offering. It's that good. Man. So this whole issue of who Yeshua is, who Israel is, and how we're grafted in is vitally important for us to understand. And Shavuot is that celebration. That celebration of being called out of Egypt, out of the nations, and into his dominion to represent who he is. That's who you and I are. We are the Israel of God. We are the chosen people through faith in the Messiah. So typical responses of Christians, though, typical responses of Christians who've neglected and even rejected the Torah as a way of life. Shavuot. What's that? I've never heard of that before. Is it a board game? Right? I mean, when I talk about Shavuot, people just go blank on me, generally speaking, right? Or if they're, you know, they might say something like, I might shift up and say, hey, what do you think of Pentecost? You know, typically it's, well, thanks, but I'm non-denominational. No, those are the Pentecostals. Have you ever heard of Pentecost? Well, I'm a Baptist. Okay. So for the more savvy and sophisticated Christian, usually the response when asked about Shavuot is, well, give me the Spirit, but I'm going to pass on the law, right? I want some power, but I don't know if I want any responsibilities that come along with that power. But for the Christian who loves truth, it's a whole different response. When talking about Shavuot, the response is radically different. For the Christian who loves truth, it's like, Shavuot? What's that? Where's that in the Bible? Tell me more about that. Can we study that? Sign me up. Pentecost? Yeah, I've heard about that. Can you tell me more? Help me out. Where did I go to find out more about this? What kind of Christian are you? How would you label yourself? Do you view Israel as separate and apart from you, rejected by God? Do you see yourself as replacing her somehow? Do you think you're free from the law and that it's not important? Or do you love truth? Are you the kind of Christian that says, you know what? I'm growing, I'm learning, and everything's on the table. I'm willing to always and forever look at everything as I pursue the truth in all things. Do you find joy in the truth? Now, when it comes to the holy days, the big question is basically this. Here's some big questions, I should say. Are not these holy days given to Israel? Yes. The answer is yes. They are God's holy days, and he gave them to Israel, his people. But I'm not Jewish. Well, actually, that isn't the same thing as being Israel. You see, if you're confused, it's the result of 2,000 years of misinformation concerning who is Israel, who is Jewish, who's a Gentile, and how it all relates. The term Jew is an ethnic construct that outsiders use to refer to the physical descendants of Jacob. So when you come across this word Jew, especially in the first century, in that Second Temple period, outsiders labeled the descendants of Jacob with that term, Jew, Judean. You know, part of the Judean, you know, area of the land or Israel. So when you say, I'm not Jewish, the real question is, well, what about Israel? Are you Israel? Are you part of Israel? Let's talk about that, because that's a different question altogether. The term Israel and the term Jew are not synonymous. Israel is a much broader term and is also a theological construct that includes ethnicity but also transcends it. What if you discovered that the term Israel includes a covenantal idea that accommodates and includes non-Jews who put their faith in Jesus? See, that's a game changer. If Israel is a big enough term to include what was promised to Abraham, that God would also bless the nations, not just the Jewish people. If the nations are included and their inclusion comes through Messiah, they would fit under that umbrella, Israel, that umbrella term that conveys the idea of covenant status with God, Jews and Gentiles together. You see, all ethnic Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. Israel includes the Gentiles along with the Jews. And every Jew that's in covenant with God and every Gentile that's in covenant with God through Messiah is part of the Israel of God. Jews and Gentiles together in one big happy family. Not very happy right now. We fight a lot. When Paul talks about the unity of the Spirit, he's talking about unity between Jews and Gentiles in the local community. One new man in Messiah. Let me read this to you. Romans chapter 9, 22 through 26. Listen to what Paul says in using this term Israel. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make known his power, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Even us, whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call those who are not my people, my people, and her who is not beloved, beloved. And it shall be in that place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. Sons of Jacob, do you want to be part of my nation? Do you want to be my people? Do you want to be chosen? Put your trust in the promised seed. And they did, and they became the nation of God. They became Israel. They were once not the people of God, but they became the people of God. He adopted them. He chose them, adopted them, and they came in by faith, and they became his treasured people. And he said to the Gentiles, mixed multitude, that came out with the sons of Jacob, who stood with the sons of Jacob on the other side of the sea, who stood at Sinai, who in the second generation stood up also and entered into covenant with God. He says, you who were once not a people are now my people. Jews and Gentiles together, all the way back in Moses' day, whom Stephen says was the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones. That's the forerunner of Acts chapter 2, where we see just a great return of Jewish people to covenant status with God through Messiah. And then the influx of the Gentiles through the missionary efforts of Paul and Peter. Gentiles as Gentiles, coming into Israel, standing with Jewish people as Israel in this restorative work of Messiah. Yes, Gentiles and Messiah, they too are Israel. Think about this. What if you, as a Gentile Christian, are grafted into the olive tree of Israel next to the Jewish branches? What does that make you? If the olive tree of Israel represents Israel, if the roots represent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if the trunk represents Moses and the prophets, if the branches represent the sects of Judaism, If the leaves represent the Jewish people, and you, being non-Jewish, are grafted into that tree, how many people do you know what you do with a branch when you graft it in? You take a branch off one plant, and then you graft it into a branch on the tree, and that branch then lives because of the sap that's in that tree. I mean, doesn't it become one with the tree? Now I want you to think about that. If you are a Gentile and you've been grafted in to the olive tree of Israel, and you're a branch next to a Jewish branch, what's that make you? We got three answers. This must be three Jews and five opinions, right? Okay. Makes you one with Israel as a Gentile. You're a Gentile branch next to a Jewish branch on the olive tree of Israel. Jews and Gentiles together. This was the plan of God all along. What if you, as a Gentile Christian, what if you're brought into the commonwealth of Israel and are made to participate with her in the covenants of promise? What does that make you? We went from branches to a political term. It makes you a citizen. A citizen. You're part of the commonwealth of Israel, a citizen of Israel. You have status as an Israeli, so to speak. Now I'm talking about the Israel of God. I'm not talking about the geopolitical Israel that we have today in the Middle East. That is part of the Israel of God. Most of those branches have been broken off because they've rejected Messiah. Paul says they're going to be grafted back in through faith in Messiah when the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So even though they don't believe in Messiah, they are still part of Israel. We are not to be arrogant, look down our nose, judge them. We're to pray for them. They're part of the family. They've just been broken off temporarily. We'll look at that in a few moments. We're part of the Israel of God, the covenant Israel of God. He's made us one with his people. We're adopted into the family of God and made one with the members that he formally adopted. In my family, five of us were adopted from five different families. With each new addition, that new addition had to struggle with, am I really part of this family? And it's easy for those that have been part of the family for years to kind of treat that new one as, well, you're not really part of the family, kind of second status. There's a pecking order here, or whatever, right? But as that person grows up and especially experiences the love of the father and the mother, they begin to assert themselves and say, hey, wait a minute. I am fully part of this family, on equal status with you. You too were adopted. Chill out. We have equal status in the love of our mother and father. And when God has adopted you through Messiah and made you one with those that he previously adopted, you have equal status with them. It's no longer them and us. It is we, a family, together by the grace of God. Well, you can't dress like us because you're not really part of the family. You know, it's so funny how kids will be so mean with each other. And if there's natural-born kids and adopted kids, the natural-born kids always love to remind the adopted kids that you're not a natural-born child. We're natural-born. You're not, right? You get that, right? You see that. And there's no greater joy in that adopted child's heart than in the day that he or she finds out that the natural-born son and daughter isn't natural-born either, but adopted. Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful time for the adopted one. The Jewish people are the people of God, but they too are adopted. Their standing with God is based on covenant, not ethnicity. That's why you can be Jewish and fall out of favor with God by rejecting his Messiah. And even though you can claim to be Jewish, you're broken off. You have no covenant status, and that will not bode well in the judgment to come. Because in the end, God's not going to ask you and me, are you Jewish? He's going to ask whether or not you accepted his love through his son and that atonement that comes through his son. You have covenant status. It's not ethnic status that matters. It's covenant status that matters. So let's expose and dispel the lie that we are not part of Israel, the chosen people of God. The Gentiles are part of Israel. Isaiah 56:3, speaking of the foreigners, the Gentiles that come into a relationship with God, covenant status with God through faith in the Messiah. It says this, God says, let not the foreigner, let not the Gentile who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Isn't that the big fear? Isn't that the insecurity in all of our hearts? I'm kind of a Johnny come lately. I know I'm just going to be separated sooner or later. See, this covenant word here in verse 3, joined to the Lord, that word joined to the Lord is covenant language. It expresses the idea of having a covenant. Those who have entered into covenant with the Lord, that automatically includes you in the covenant people. If you've joined yourself to the Lord by covenant, you're automatically then brought into the covenant people of God. You're automatically part of Israel. But the fear is, I'm going to be treated differently. I'll be neglected, maybe even rejected. It's the adoption syndrome. God's caution, he says, don't say that. Don't fall for that. It's a lie. I will not separate you. I've adopted you. I'll make you one with my people. It's an even playing ground here. One and the same with those I previously adopted. So the big question for us is, am I truly part of the chosen people, Israel? Really? Not second class? Am I fully equal with that Jewish believer? Participating as Israel? Romans 11:16-24. Let's pick up this reading in Paul's epistle to the Romans. Paul says, if the root is holy, and he's talking about a tree. He says, if the root is holy, the branches are too. The root is the conduit of the sap that gives life to the tree. Everything is connected in one in the tree via the sap. If the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some, underline some, please, people just think that Israel rejected God. No, some rejected him. Some, S-O-M-E. If some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive, and you are. Emphasis on wild. You are a wild olive. You being a wild olive were grafted in among them. Who's the them? Believing Jews. The Jews that rejected the Messiah, broken off. What remained on the tree were the Jews who did believe in Messiah. And there were tens of thousands of Jews. In the early years after Jesus ascended into heaven, that believed that he was the Messiah. So all of these believing Jews that remained on this tree of Israel, it says, you are grafted in among them, believing Jews, in this tree, this olive tree called Israel. You are grafted in among them and became partaker, not an overtaker, partaker. You became a partaker with them of the rich roots of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. Don't be arrogant toward the Jewish people. Don't be arrogant towards Jewish people who have rejected the Messiah. Don't be arrogant towards Jewish people who believe in Messiah. They were in before you. There is an aspect of seniority that counts here. Do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the roots, but the root supports you. You will say then, well, branches were broken off so I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. So get off your high horse. Recognize you stand by faith. Issues with God are matters of faith. Covenant status, not ethnic status. So don't be conceited. And don't be arrogant. If he broke off branches that were cultivated because of their unbelief, how much sooner will he cut you, the wild, crazy branch off if you fall from faith? Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Now, at the end of the epistle, he's going to switch that up and put it in a very positive framework. Right now, it's in a negative framework, and then he'll shift, and it sounds even much better at the end. And if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For you, if you were cut off from that which by nature is a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own tree? So Paul goes on to say in verse 25, I don't want you to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel. Partial. Only some were hardened. Many believed. Partial hardening has happened to Israel until, temporarily, until means it's going to end. That hardening is going to end, and those that were hardened are going to come in. Okay, so it's a partial hardening has happened happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So there is a partial hardening, and it's temporary, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. What does it mean when it refers to the Gentiles coming in? Context is king. What's the context? It's about coming into the tree of Israel. It's about coming in and being grafted into the people of God. One tree, many branches. Some cultivated, some wild, some Jewish, some Gentile. But there's one tree, one Israel, one people, one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one law. It's the Gentiles coming back to the roots of their faith, coming back into Israel, coming back into the Torah, coming back into this way of life that was given to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. It's that phenomenon that triggers the return of Messiah and the heart of Israel towards the Son of God. This is what's taking place. This is what's coming. This is what's happening all around us. In light of that, where are you at in your journey? Are you coming back to the tree that you're grafted into? Are you learning to relate to Jewish people and specifically to Jewish believers? Have you embraced the Torah as a way of life? Is this your pursuit? Are you stepping it up? Are you finding your joy in it? It's your heritage. It is your blessings. Embrace them. Live them. Share them. You'll never regret it. These blessings are tied up in the Torah. Faith in the Messiah will result in salvation. But if you want to experience the blessings of God, those are tied into His ways. And you'll need to step into His ways in order to experience those. So we encourage you to do that. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And we add, "In the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'asem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat shalom and Shavua tov. Shabbat.